It's one of the faults of young people to be too dogmatic and to think that older people are just becoming too compromising because they're not hard, demanding, dogmatic like they are. To them, everything is black, black, and white, white. And the line is clear and sharp. And they are dogmatic on the matter, and they haven't learned yet. It's not really that way. It's not. There's all kinds of factors and situations that don't make it so clear-cut. See, the scriptures are full of... People say, but there's no scripture for that. There is plenty of scripture for that. Let's take the scripture, for example, where Paul said he was forgiven. Because he had the sins of ignorance. God, and see, the Bible says God winks at. Not that he's not concerned with, but he let it go. And Paul, he said, because he sinned in ignorance, how does it say it, Mike? In ignorance and unbelief. Is that what it says? But anyway, God was gracious, he's saying. God was gracious because he didn't mean to be doing this against God. Now, see, it wasn't a clear cut. Well, you sinned and that's it. Either sin or no sin. Judgment or not. It wasn't quite like that. It was sins of ignorance. And then there's sins of omissions. And then there's, you are guilty of a hatema, I never forgotten the word until just now, sin, hamartia. Everything isn't hamartia, you know. Everything isn't panaras. Some things are hatema, a fault. There's utterly a hatema, a fault among you. And see, everything isn't just this is it and that's it, see. And Abraham, see, his faith was counted to him for righteousness. His faith was counted for righteousness. See, anyway, you're either righteous or you're not righteous, see. This idea that everything is or isn't quite that way. Well, it's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is here because, isn't it? Well, you either sin or you either do or you don't. It wasn't quite that way, see. And we need to, you know, in those spirits of intolerance, and boy, do they have fun in a marriage to wreak havoc in it. Don't let the other one think. Total, I am God. I am right. And you must bow to my wisdom. See? Or else I'm going to battle you all the night long. It's a terrible, intolerant, I am God spirit. There are Christians that have no, they do not know they have that spirit. They do not know that they have an I am God spirit. And total intolerance. I am right, I am God. Now they don't say that, they don't know that that's what that spirit's doing, but that spirit makes them think like that. And issuing from their mind, all things are judged by the superiority of my righteous mind, where everybody's sloppy but me, and I go on in my high and lofty way. They do not understand. Because at the same time, they can feel conviction, they can feel unworthy, they have spirits feeling and feel rejected, and these things stand there, and these demons hide the other demon, and they don't even know they got the other demon. But I am not making now a case for sloppiness, sensuousness, and so forth. But I want to say that some people have become too legalistic and too... too worried about the natural body that God has made. See, on one ditch, he's not worried enough about it. We ought to be nude if we want to. I abhor people letting the kids go out nude on the beach, you know. I mean, and the people, I think that's terribly wrong. I think it's wrong. Not because there's some evil in their body. I don't mean that. The kid doesn't mean a thing. But how do they know that every other mother and father wants their kids exposed to this way? They don't know. So people are so presumptuous. They take these... We saw my wife and I saw a guy with an electrical tape recorder system this big, walking down the beach. Great big guy. Blah, 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 I told my wife, I said, if we came out and put up a great big stand and we put in the music we play on that beach loud, there'd be a rush towards us, an anger. And I came upon Stephen, thinking we'd have no right to play in that.
We don't want church music on here.
What makes them think everybody wants their music? See, instead of being careful to put put it in the earphones and turn it way down, they blam, 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 blam all over the place. They think they don't understand. See, there's presumptuousness. Not being considerate of other people. And we don't need to be considerate. But you can't live by total fear of everybody's decisions but your own. There comes a place like Paul that you have to say, why is my grace, my liberty, bottled up because of somebody else's unbelief? Because of their weakness, why should I be weak? I have a liberty in Christ. If they don't have it, they can't do it, but I've got it. Now, to my 2 points here. See, dancing isn't too sensuous. I mean, these are the bodies God gave us. What are we supposed to dance with? What are you supposed to walk with? What are the Old Testament saints supposed to dance with? What are you supposed to do with your body when it's curvaceous? Some girls get blamed because they're buxomy or curvaceous. They can't help it. They can't help it. They're made that way. And Solomon didn't seem to mind it. There is a place where you can begin to disdain what God has made and want to cover up what God has made so much and so badly, you get yourself in a demonic place. You're like the Pharisee that was uncovered in an early manuscript in a joke between Pharisees, where one Pharisee banged his head against the wall because he's walking with his eyes shut so he wouldn't see a woman and be tempted. Now, that was with their dress on. That wasn't miniskirts. And the other one, I don't remember the thing exactly, but he tripped over a stone because one of them had his head down so he wouldn't see a woman and lust after her, and one of them had his eyes shut and tripped over a stone, and one of them was laughing at the other one. And it was a Pharisaic joke. But it betrayed they had a problem in their day. That's the same problem some people did. God didn't ordain that his apostles go around with shut eyes. He left them in the world and expected them to overcome and accept the body that God made people. And in those days, they didn't have, they didn't have bathrooms like we have. They didn't. You ever stop to think about that? They didn't. And they saw people in the river washing. They saw people, having to empty the bladder at times. They saw people nursing. I mean, they didn't go over in a dead faint and that was the end of the whole Christian life, And I hate, I hate this world's activity. And I hate this liberal push to nudism and pushing all this stuff. I hate it. But I don't see any reason to throw away the good money with a counterfeit. I don't see any way to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I think we need to get in the middle of the road, not be stumbled, Sure, the people use their bodies to dance for the devil. But God gave us the same. Oh, but the devil never had a right to the body to begin with. See? The body belongs to God's people for God. So let's don't equate every. Let's don't take what came first and equate it with what came second. Because the devil copied God in all these things. And so then God's people can't throw away everything because the devil copied it. We'd be in terrible shape if we threw away everything the devil copied. And a lot of churches have done that. You don't want certain instruments? Violins, you were out in the time of Moody. For the most part, they were out because Beethoven and all of those, playing the Flight of the Bumblebee and all these other things on it. And they didn't want it because it was a worldly instrument. No, I guess I'm wrong in that. What I meant to say was, it was out because in their day, they were having square dancing with it. But I meant to say prior to that time, back in Beethoven's day and other time, they might have done dancing back in those days, I don't know. But I'm trying to say the instrument didn't start with that square dancing, they just used it for it, see? People have made strings and things in all different shapes and sizes and designs from the beginning of time to play with, play musical instruments with. They did it in the days of Israel. Now, some people get over worried about, somebody slipshod a little bit. I don't think we ought to be so over-concerned, you know. I think that ladies need to be careful, but I don't think that we need to be stumbled and over-concerned. I mean, you know, what is a slip? You know, it's a white dress that you wear underneath your other dress. I've seen women here, she had a dress on, you know, and everybody would have been happy with it, black. Everybody was happy with it. But if you put a red dress on it, and the red dress flew up and you saw the black dress, the people, oh, you know, some people, see? Hey, well, women, now, wait a minute now, you know. What's really going on? And they go out to the beach, they see people's thighs clawing up to the bathing suit, and don't worry about it, but see some little bit of a cover underneath another cover, and they're worried about the undercover. I mean, you can get to a place where you get really a little bit off balance, thinking you're holding a high standard, where you get over-worried and over-concerned, you know. And even if somebody showed a little bit of leg, well, we don't want a lot of legs showing. We don't want that kind of an atmosphere. But if anybody, I mean, it's not the end of the world, you know. A leg is a leg. I mean, all the animals got them. And everybody's got them, you know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal, you know. Some people have really gone overboard in this thing. They've really gone, somehow, they've really got to a funny place. But they can't accept what God made in a wholesome, natural, normal way and not worry about it. And so some people don't understand me. But then that's only because they don't understand them, I guess. But this is who I am. This is how I think. And I know that I'm open to accusations saying this. And some people might want to go away saying, well, the pastor, he's got loose standards and this and this. But I don't feel that way. I feel that people have been out in the world so long they got warped some of them. They come to Christ and they jump way to the other extreme. They can't accept things like Adam and Eve and like God's people, you know, in a normal environment, except what God made. You know, the body's not evil. We don't want to show it off, but it's not evil. I don't see anything sexy about the elbows and the arms. You know, and so we need to understand that you cannot get away from distributing that which has appeal to the opposite sex. Because I find people more appealing with clothes on and without. So now what are we going to do? See? And you know it's true. You see people out on the beach, out there in bikinis, bikinis, and some woman walks by with high heel shoes on, full sundress, and every head goes like this. See? Sure. No more taken by this than they all by that, you know. Now, on with my message. Except I haven't told about yet this vision of dancing. And this vision of dancing, below the balustrade, outside was a sea of black demons. And I recognized we were not dancing here. We were dancing in spiritual heavenly places before the Lord. And I recognized, I heard in this vision, I heard a demon yell out. And when he yelled, when he saw us dancing, curses! That's what he said. I heard one yell out, curses! And they were upset. And they could not accuse us before God. They could not accuse us because we were demonstrating full love, given over, wholly, entirely to Jesus. And they could not entice us with hopelessness, despair, he doesn't love you, you're rejected, no hope. See, they couldn't do that. And they couldn't give us hate, anger, sensuality. They couldn't. We were locked into Jesus, loving him. They were trapped, stopped, angry, upset, frustrated. And they couldn't do a thing about it. They couldn't accuse us before God. We were above them. They weren't hurting us because we were in a relationship with him. And I take this to mean, and now I know what the balustrade was for. They can't cross over. And I believe that we're going to experience in the spirit this type of a relationship. Well, I said Jesus prayed that we not fall into the devil's hands, manifest his nature, and because of that prayer, God is putting his concern on ministers' hearts. And I am finding his concern put on me. From time to time, I begin to feel a concern from the Lord come upon me that I have to give out in one area or another area. And I find interesting that as I get different magazines from different ministers, I find at the same time there begins to be the same type of concern on their hearts. It's so interesting. Over the years, I've watched it. It isn't just one isolated case that I took as a coincidence. I'm seeing it happening. Over a long period of time, I find that God is faithful to tell His own the same thing at the same times. But God will not force our wills. That's one thing He will not do. And so let us be careful not to hurt Jesus. He prayed for us. He is a concern. Let's be careful not to make His prayer in vain for us. Now we're in the book of John in chapter 17. And I have to find it again myself. And in verse 16, and for you that are Johnny Come Lakes, I'm just completing a sermon that I started this morning. And I may talk about it for a half hour tonight as well, and then next week, called Judging Ourselves to See Whether We'll Be Walking in the Faith as We Ought. So this is part two. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, God is calling us out of this world. We are not to be of the world's entertainment. We are not to be of the world's lifestyle. We are not to be of the world's fashions. We are not to be of the world's philosophies. We are not to have the world's goals or the world's dreams or the world's expressions or attitude or lingo or civil disobedience or political hopes. Now you say, that means we can't do anything. No, I said this world's. I didn't say everything that the world did. But that which is exclusively the world's, which is given over to them. See, the world is under the governments in high places of the devil. And the philosophy all stems from that. And what the Christians do as well is not the world's. Because we are not of the world. And if we who are not of the world do it, and they which are of the world do it, then it's not the world's. Now, given that the fact that some wilderness has crept into the church, and we need to make a distinction between that which a lot of Christians are doing, but those that are walking with God or not, see, there's a difference there. And but when our goals and our dreams and our lifestyles and our expressions and our fashions, when we're locked into that which is of the world, and those that are walking in the Spirit are shunning it and disdaining it, you need to be careful lest you find yourself defending and letting demons defend what is worldly and what you shouldn't be doing. Too many people are defending themselves and allowing the demon to defend them because they want it. And they got strong spirits of rationale, and they are going to go by their own mind. You know what that means? That means you're not open to a shepherd. Because the shepherd is to lead you. But if you're going to lead yourself, you're not being led. For thou art the leader. Then you only have a preacher, but not a shepherd. And if I'm your preacher, but not your shepherd, then you are rejecting a God-given office. Because God has called me not just to preach, but to shepherd. And I can't lead if you don't follow. See? And a lot of Christians, they don't have a shepherd. They only have preachers. Well, let's get another preacher, you know. They just have a preacher. They trade preachers about every 4 years. He preached himself out with another preacher. See? All they want is a preacher. Don't tell us what to do. We're not going anywhere. They just want a preacher. They do not want a shepherd. That's where a lot of Christians are. Verse 17. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. And the Greek is, in the truth. To be, and sanctify. Sanctify means to be set apart. Set them apart in thy truth. You cannot be in the truth unless you know the truth. And if you know the truth and become a living epistle of the truth, that truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from the world. You know what philosophy is? Philosophia. Philo means love. Sophia means wisdom. It's the love of wisdom. But philosophy of the world is the love of wisdom of the world, which comes from the demons. sophistication. It has the word Sophie in it, wisdom again. Sophistication is the wisdom of the world. I am sophisticated. I know how to handle my drink and hold my cigarette. Sophisticated, see, of the world. It's wisdom of the world. Snobbery, I'm sophisticated. In other words, demonic. Demons of snobbery, see, instead of the love of all the saints. Humble, submitting one to another, meek and kind and gentle, all receiving from one another. See, sophistication doesn't do that. It makes itself high. And it's that sophistication that makes them, people have slaves and over control, want to manipulate people because they become high. See, we get royal blood in our veins. What's royal blood? The demons lie to people. You can't have them, you can't marry outside of this because they don't have royal blood. We've all got the same blood. That king's got the same blood of the slave and the harlot. This idea that somebody is great, greatness, lift up man as God, you know, is wrong. But on the opposite ditch is bringing railing accusation against God's anointed and his offices. And the balance is you respect the office, but you don't eulogize the man. You obey and respect the office that God has set, but you don't lift up the person, you lift up Jesus. Because once, you see, as we who have offices have our cap on and our chevrons, and we're in the office to be respected, but when we're not operating the office, bah, we're sheep like everybody else, sinners saved by grace. And even while we're operating, we're still sheep, but we have an office. And Paul said to even young Timothy, let no man despise thy office and thy youth. See, let no man despise your youth and your office. Rebuke, and he said, Titus said, rebuke with all, you know, all strong authority, with all authority. You have all authority. See, God has given authority. Whatever you bind on earth and loose on earth, should be bound or loosed in heaven. And yet the person is not a pompous, kiss my ring, my big toe pope. We're nothing but sinners saved by grace, executing an office. He's putting, you know, you're an overseer of this, and you're an overseer of that, and you're an overseer of that, and you're an overseer of that. And so every so often you hear somebody say, oh, they're the elders. I'm sure that the elders, I mean, because, you know, they are in the present, because they are, my friend, an elder is a person like you that somebody chooses to take oversight of something because he has certain abilities along with his weaknesses and demonic problems he has to get rid of. That's what an elder and a pastor is. They're not somebody that has flown in from some other planet. Some special holy, holy, holy art thou. That's only given to Jesus. Only before and God. Only we cannot, no man is worthy of eulogy. The prophets had to say, you know, I'm but a man, don't bow before me, you know. And angels had to say the same. See, God gets the glory. My glory I will not give it to another. Man always wants to give glory to man. God doesn't want that. Then the devil wants to trample over the place. He either wants to raise them up high and lofty and make everybody slaves and servants while he wears his super expensive clothes, you know, and all the rest. Or else he wants to disdain him, have people disdain him and run over him and argue and fight and disdain the, and no respect for office at all. And we see both going on in America. The disdained are the presidents and the leaders and those that are held up, got football uniforms on, basketball and, you know, Hollywood actors and a few other things. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God is calling us to be holy. That means set apart unto him. And he's wanting us to be set apart. He's calling. We can't just live in the world any longer. He's calling us. There's going to be judgment on the house of God if we do. I've got to tell you this. Now, I don't say this to cause you discouragement. And demons will rush to you and say, oh, you better leave the church. If that's how they feel, well, you've no hope. See, now all that is a lie. You're going to have to hold steady doing this. But you see, In the truth, there's two camps building. There's a visible church, and we're all in it. And then there's another camp called the invisible church. And that invisible church is already in the womb of the visible, and it's growing, and it's getting big, and it's starting to you're starting to see the elbows jut out and the feet, and it's starting to exercise a bit. And I'll tell you how you know whether you're in one camp or the other. Those in this man-child camp, or the invisible camp in the womb, those are those of you, not you that are perfect, not you that, it doesn't mean unless you have no demon problems and you're perfect, make no mistakes, and you have some high office, you're not there, it doesn't mean that at all. But those of you, there's a great large contingency of this congregation. Now, so we can't draw any real clear lines, because no man knoweth the Son but the Father. He knows who of you are the Son, and that are the Son with the Son, in the Son, and a part of the Son. He knows that. Man doesn't always know. Man would draw the line sometimes the wrong place. You put some in that are out and some out that are in. But God knows the Son. Now, that scripture hasn't often been interpreted that way, but that's the furthest spiritual meaning of that term. But what God is saying, what's happening is there are people here, they're hanging on every word. When the pastor brings a message, or the Bible college teacher brings a message, ministers, they're doing business with it. They're drinking it in. They're coming to grips with it. They're praying about it. And they're not doing it perfectly, but they're laying their hand on it. They're praying. They're singing. They're dancing. They're praying for others. They're interceding. They are working for the kingdom. They are trying to storm the kingdom by force and take it. They are endeavoring to become like the bride of Christ, become the bride of Christ, become like Christ. They're endeavoring to wash off the old dirt. They're endeavoring to be in his palace and develop and get rid of the swarthy skin and get the white skin of the palace, the queen. They are endeavoring to be satisfying to the love of their soul. They are putting everything that they can into obedience and love and surrender. And they're submissive. Now, amidst all this, under terrible attack by the devil, and they got weaknesses and things of the past, and they're not perfect in it, and they're getting bruised and knocked down, but they get up, glory to God anyhow, and they go on. Now, that's the group that's in the womb. It's not perfect, or it'll be born. So it's still developing, and the ears don't shape quite right, nose isn't shaped, everything isn't shaped perfectly yet. And it's more stomach than legs. The legs are still shriveled up, the arms are still shriveled up, they're not doing much, but it's there, and it's moving, it's building, and one day it will come out. Now, the other group, they are coming to church. They're singing, praying a little, reading the Bible, maybe arguing the Bible, working for God, witnessing, and various things. But they're not committed to a love life with Jesus. They're not entering in to get rid of everything in them that's wrong. They're not moving to become just like the Master. They're not selling out. They have added Jesus to their bag. They're in the world with one leg and in the church with the other leg. They are harboring their secret sins and they don't intend to let loose of them. They're hypocrites. They got on an actor's mask. They do love the Lord, but they haven't sold out. They have a fair summer religion. I'm not talking about just a new convert. There are new converts can come in and throw themselves wholly into it. The people can be here 20 years and be here 18 years and still not got with it yet. See, depending on the will and what they do with their life and the policies that they set. And if there are people that say they want church, they don't really want to move with God in the Spirit. They want familiar, comfortable church. And they don't want their boat rocked. They don't want convicting sermons. They don't want practical. They don't want to talk about tithing and offerings. They don't want to talk about giving of itself. They don't want to talk about witnessing. They don't want to talk about anything that makes their flesh uncomfortable. They only want to talk about faith and loveliness. See? They're not willing to come to grips with themselves. They're not willing to look at the mirror and see who they are. They're not willing to open up and fall in love. They're not willing to exercise faith. They're in a hopeless, faithless condition. They won't exercise faith. And they don't come to, they only come to one service a week. You know, a lot of them. And I worry about people that only, that when we have the move of God here, I know that there are tens of thousands of people across this nation that would sell their home and rush here as fast as they could and attend all services if they just knew what it was like. And there are people right in the midst that are sleepy come once a week. It shows the condition of your heart. Not that excited about spiritual things. Now I know, and it's not my intention, to hurt you or to down you or to belittle you. I know it's because there's lack of hope. Because there's a deadness. Because you're not feeling the life. You don't feel the Spirit. If you felt the Spirit, you'd be... here three times a week. You'd be here. You'd never want to leave. But you're not feeling it. And you don't know how to get it. And it's sort of discouraging. And you've been faithful. You've been coming and coming and coming. And that means a lot to God. That means a lot. If you keep on keeping on when you're not feeling it, and you keep on, and you don't know how, even if you haven't let loose of it, God's going to eventually get you there. And He can't get you there as fast as if you just open up by faith and fall and step out in the water and start walking. But He's going to get you there. But but if you're in that class, you eventually have to awake from the dead that He may give you life. You say, well, how do I do it? I'll tell you how you do it. First of all, you quit using the arguments, the defense mechanisms that the devil has given you. You quit arguing, saying, well, I can't because I can't, I can't, I can't, I don't, you don't understand, I can't. You start going by principle. Not by, well, I don't feel like going to church tonight. You don't go by feelings. Well, you never get anything out of it. That's a defeatist attitude that will not get you there. See, the people say, well, I don't know how to get there. Well, stop doing what you're doing and start doing what you're not doing. Start laying hold of faith. Start claiming the promise you don't have yet, for if a man have it, why yet doth he have faith for it? Faith is the substance of things not yet seen. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. Evidence. Proof. I take it now even though I have not yet received it. That is faith. You start claiming what you don't have. You start believing it. You start getting rid of all negative thinking. You begin discerning who is in my house and who's talking in here. And you shovel out all those others, no civil rights program here. You shovel them out. You discern. You discriminate. You decide who's of God and who isn't. And you will not listen to anything contrary to faith and the Scriptures. You start to make policies. I will attend every service. I'm going to get prayer meetings. I'm going to get me in deliverances. I'm going to get prayed for. I'm going to pray for others. I'm going to start letting my light shine. I'm going to start witnessing on the job. I'm going to start reading the Bible and believing it. I'm going to quit nagging in my husband. I'm going to quit trying to boss my husband. I'm going to start being submissive to my husband. I'm going to quit slapping my wife around. I'm going to quit berating her. I'm going to start loving her. I'm going to start having respect from the children. I'm going to start loving my children, taking time for them. I'm going to start doing what God called me to do in the first place. I'm going to start living for God. I'm going to quit my secret sins. I'm going to stop these things and show God that I mean business and the devil too. You see, there's too many people blowing this thing. Well, I don't know how. Of course you don't know how. In your state, you couldn't possibly know how. That comes by people that are moving in faith and are working with God. You have to claim it. You have to want it. You have to cry for it. But I don't feel anything. Then you ought to be concerned you don't feel anything. And you ought to be on your face before God saying, oh, Lord, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. I can't feel you. I'm in trouble. I've got to feel you. I'm never going to make it if I don't ever feel you. There's no way to get to be a bride if I don't feel you. I'm in a trap. I'm locked. But I know that thou wilt deliver. But when you seek me with your whole heart, you shall find me. And the Bible does not say, seek him with a whole heart if you feel him. Seek him if everything is going good your way. You seek him with a whole heart when you're in trouble. The scriptures that talk about he will save the nation and deliver the nation are given to those that are in trouble, that don't have the Spirit of God moving. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, means they're proudful, and will seek my face, which means they're not seeking his face. And will, what else does it say? And turn from their evil ways, which means they're practicing evil. And so he talks to those people and says, if they'll do this, then I will heal the land. Then I will come unto them. Then you'll come unto us as the rain. So you can't just say, well, I don't feel it. You see the fallacy of letting the devil run your life? The hopelessness sets in until I might as well go to some other church. Well, if that's how they feel, that's demons talking. Well, I can't. Demons, of course you can't. God can. But not unless you sell out for God. We got to be like Jacob. He's given us lots of pictures in the Bible. Wrestle with him all night. I don't like to wrestle long. It's hard on the muscles. It isn't what you like. You're in trouble. You got to have God. You've got to shake yourself from the lethargies, from the darkness, the damp that is upon you. You've got to call upon him. There are too many people around in a sleep, like Samson at the grist mill. We find have to shake ourselves and call on God. We got to get tired of grinding the enemy's grain. You should know the truth. The truth shall set you free. How do you do that? Start reading this Bible with the idea of everything you see here that you're not doing, you should be, you're going to grab it and do it. And everything you shouldn't be, you're going to kick it out of the camp. And you're going to live for God perfectly if you never felt a thing the rest of your life. And you start doing this, and pretty soon, brother, you'll be feeding plenty. Now, that means also, if you can do what he says, that means you have to throw out this pride, the self-sanctimonious, self-righteous. I teach a Bible study. I have been here 12 years. I finished college, got 3.9 GPA. I can sing better than somebody else. I've got enough four ministries. I do this, I do that. But you're dead as a doornail. Our spirituality is not built on what we do. It's built on yielding to the Spirit. It isn't even based on what you are. It's based on yielding to the spirit realm. You can have all kinds of problems, but if you yield in the spiritual realm, then you are moving in a spiritual way. And you can be so careful not to touch any unclean thing, but if you're not moving in the spirit realm, you are not spiritual. Number 18. See, spiritual has only to do with one thing. Spirit movement. 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, so even so have I also sent them into the world. I see it's time to quit. This will be my last comment. This verse teaches us that we have a commission. He is sending us into the world. You know what a problem is right now? And this problem is throughout the whole church world. All of our energy, all of our soldiers, all of our artillery, all of our might, all of everything is now working on a defense basis. We're being attacked and we're on the defensive. We need to get to a place where we can turn all of our energy into the offensive and take the enemy camp. Right now the enemy's camp is not being taken. He's just banging against us. And we're doing our best to hold the line. We need to go on the offensive and be able to have time and energy to spill to go out and pray till other churches begin to get the demons off of them and begin to have connections made. Begin to pray to break powers over Seattle and other areas. Begin to pray that people, backslidden people will get moved on by God and come back in and humble. We pray that certain truths will be able to, you know, we talked about this in the eldership yesterday, and I will not have time, and will not take time to go over it, but there is enormous pressure brought to bear against our outreach and our ministries. Our ministries, whether written, on the radio, etc., etc., there are enormous pressures and things that I don't have time to get into that have just been at us in every direction to hold us from launching out. And the devil's scared to death to have us launch out. Scared to death. Somebody gave they'll be given that another time. the demons really tremble at a certain thing. But God be thanked that we have the victory in sight. And we all, in Christ, we can do all things. Through Him. Through Him that strengtheneth us. Not through our own abilities. We have got to be utterly dependent on the Holy Ghost. We cannot be self-made men and ever do the will of God. Only God's men, only God and His people can do the job that needs to be done.